Hello, everyone, and welcome to Searching for the Question Live. My name is David Orban, and I am very happy to have all of you here. We are streaming live on Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, and can receive your questions and answer them as you address them to us about the subject of today's conversation. Last Friday, Tesla held their second annual AI Day. And they, rather than just announcing, they actually showed Tesla Bot Optimus in its first couple of iterations. Today, I am here with my friend Brian Wang to discuss and comment about the event that Tesla held, both around the robot as well as the exascale artificial intelligence computing platform supporting both the Tesla full self-driving cars as well as the robot itself. Brian, welcome to Searching for the Question Live.
Very glad to join you, David.
Before we get into discussing Tesla and Tesla Bot and Dojo, tell us a little bit about you, what you do, and how you approach your analysis of these technologies.
So I've been blogging on Next Big Future, covering all science and technology developments, all disruptive technologies, for over 20 years, and written over 30,000 articles covering all the information. I also lectured at Singularity University on the nanotechnology track four times in a row. I did a coverage of the annual developments in nanotechnology, but I go in depth into nuclear fusion, quantum computers, space, in great detail. I do some fundraising, I do some angel investing. I talk and meet with many technology companies and do in-depth analysis into all the developments in the future, in particular, the stuff that's happening in the future with Tesla and SpaceX.
And I always enjoyed our interactions at Singularity University and reading your articles on Next Big Future. I like how you connect the various threads of a complex information landscape, not only talking about technology, but also what are the economic implications or the geopolitical implications, how the economy and the world of human labor is going to change as a consequence. We have a couple of people saying hello, Chica and Eddie, who says he's excited to hear from you on artificial intelligence. Mm-hmm. So thank you, Chica and Eddie. Feel free to ask questions if anything is not clear about what we say. So, Brian, when did you start following Tesla, and why?
Well, I was following Tesla for since they started making their electric vehicles, but I got more intense probably. In 2018, when I became an investor in Tesla. So I followed even more closely. I actually met at Singularity Summit, saw a talk by Kathy Wood at Singularity Summit. And, in the meeting afterwards, it's when I, realized that, I've been covering the developments they were doing, but I hadn't gotten the conviction and commitment to actually invest in it. I was still doing the whole, investing in other technologies or, not breaking free of investment philosophies of managing portfolio and doing that kind of thing. So then I, got really deep into them, you know, after I became a share owner. But I was still following them before that. I would say, okay, you know, they're developing the factory is doing Model 3. And I was tracking their scaling, but I got far deeper into them in 2018.
A lot of people remain at the surface of what they see and what they read about Elon Musk, which is a very picturesque founder and leader of his companies. And then they are trapped in an extremely partial vision mm-hmm. of what this superficial contact allows them to do. Did you find it hard to overcome eventually that negative first impression that a lot of people get of these superficial components of Elon Musk's behavior? Or for you, it was easy to go to the substance and the principles of the companies and their missions?
It was easy for me to go to the substance and mission of the companies, but I could see how you know, intelligent people, people I respected, were locked into the FUD, the fear, uncertainty, doubt that is spread throughout the media. Some of it, I think, is coming from oil companies or competitors or other things. So there's a lot of confusion around that. And also there's a emotional negative reaction to billionaires, that somehow they feel that because of Elon's personality, that, oh, I don't like the personality, I'm going to react negatively to all the things. And they can say, okay, you know, before 3 years ago, he's not going to scale, 5 years before he's not going to scale. 3 years ago, he's not going to make a profit. It's only profit because of the credits. Now he's got like 10 times more profit. But they don't like reassess. They don't say these things have happened. Or, you know, all the things with SpaceX. You know, if you just look at more objectively, it's like he's moved from success to success. XCOM, PayPal, you know, SpaceX, Tesla, all of it is working. And at levels, you know, if you objectively look at how slow things were moving in space development, or how things are moving with electric cars, that he completely changed what we expect for the future based upon that.
And the same thing now could happen with robotics, mm-hmm. because admittedly, we all love our science fiction robots, and we are outraged that in 2022, we still not have them around plenty and helping us doing things, as mm-hmm. Elon Musk says, dangerous, boring, or repetitive work. There's a lot that humans shouldn't be doing. And the pace of robotics development has been extremely so. Asimo was the first humanoid robot developed by Honda, mm-hmm. and they kept Asimo for maybe 10 years unchanged, mm-hmm. doing the same flat-footed, extremely slow steps, and with no intention of daring to go beyond. I think one of the most important lessons that can be taken from previous experiences with Elon Musk's companies and initiatives is that going faster is possible. That iterating and learning from mistakes very, very rapidly is possible, including in extremely hard fields, like developing a new rocket or a completely new concept of landing, launching a new car company, which hasn't happened in the United States for 70 years before Tesla, and now the case of developing a humanoid robot, which Tesla achieved over not more than probably 8-9 months with this mm-hmm. particular model, which is the model that they are now substituting with the new one. So why don't you spend a bit of time on this process and what the difference is between the the two models are, maybe why are they important?
So the first model that he brought out on Friday was the one that they built the fastest. They took a lot of off-the-shelf parts and components to build it. And they did it in about 6 months to get to a working version of it. And they had video recording showing that it was able to pick up objects like a watering can. It could view the environment because they ported over the full self-driving software. So the full self-driving software lets them do advanced driver assistance, and it can drive without intervention in many instances for 20 minutes, 60 minutes across the entire world. It's not geofenced like other places, other companies that are working on self-driving. And they're able to port that over from the car to the robot. So it can have that environmental awareness that they had with the bot.
And yeah, many companies believed that they needed superhuman sensing in order to be able to drive the cars without a human driver. Yeah. LiDAR is a good example of this, which has fantastic temporal resolution, 360 vision, is capable of seeing much farther at a much higher spatial resolution as well than the human eye. And Tesla took a completely different approach. They basically said, if human senses are able to drive a car, then a car that is endowed with the equivalent of human senses should be able to drive itself as well. Mm-hmm. And for example, they did away with LiDARs. Mm-hmm. So the approach with the humanoid robot is a little bit the same. Mm-hmm. It doesn't need superhuman senses in order to make sense of the mm-hmm. world, in order right. to right. interpret as it is here, what it is seeing and what it should be doing.
Right. And also, it's they're going at it, applying their mass production. They made over 3 million electric cars, and they're increasing that by 50% every year or more. And the robots weigh 30 times less than a Model Y. So if they were to make the same mass, same number of batteries, same number of metal and something like that, they can make 30 times more robots than they could cars if they had the same number of factories. If they had equal car factories to equal robot factories, they could scale up to 90 million once they equal the 3 million cars that they've already produced.
As so well that, as the robot can cost relatively little, rather than $1 million, rather than $500,000. Mm-hmm. What Elon Musk said during the presentation, that it can cost as little as $20,000.
Right. And if it lasted for 3 years, if it worked 8,000 hours a year, then it would be $1 an hour, which is groundbreaking in terms of less than the cost of farm labor in the developing world. So all the tasks that it could then substitute into would be huge, which is, there's several aspects of that which are unique to Elon Musk style plans and approaches to things which are different. Yes, there's been Boston Dynamics and other companies working on humanoid bots, agile bots, and that kind of thing, but they've been around for 20, 30 years, and they do not get to the scale. Even the large industrial robot arms that go into factories, which have been revolutionized car manufacturing, there's only 3 million industrial robot arms after many, many decades. And of course, those robot arms that assemble and do things with cars cannot be taken out of that environment. They cannot go elsewhere. So
designing the robot for large volume manufacturing is the first. Mm-hmm. The second is making sure that these are not specialized robots constrained to some vertical application without the ability of going beyond. And the third maybe is that they have a captive market for the first few thousand, maybe the first few tens of thousands of robots in their own factories, in the Tesla factories, where on one hand, they have already eliminated hundreds of traditional industrial robots by changing the manufacturing of the Tesla car with single
casting, baby casting.
Approach, where in Model Y, both the front and the back of the car, instead of being assembled from hundreds of individual pieces, is literally stamped, cast in a single, 10
form,
30 millisecond process,
right?
And so now they are going to eliminate the remainder or the vast majority of the remainder of the traditional robots by introducing the Tesla bots, as well as those boring, repetitive, or dangerous tasks that are now done by humans.
Right. And there's about 15,000 human employees at the Shanghai factory. And then you have similar numbers at Fremont, at Nevada, but fewer in Nevada, and then also at Austin and Berlin. So yeah, they can, if they're probably going to try to open up four factories. So over the next 3-4 years, they're looking at 100,000, 200,000 potential, using their own services to scale up, which Amazon does for their warehouses. And that they bought Kiva Systems several years ago for those pallet bots, those rectangular cube-like robots that are underneath the pallet that they manage the warehouse. Amazon has 500,000 of those. So, the scale of that is something that Tesla can apply also to warehouses and to factories their own. And then if they get 50% to 100% more productivity from their own factories, others would have to adopt them. And then there's two other major markets that they can attack very easily. One is the delivery. If they have the robotaxi level full self-driving, which ARK Invest calculates to be 3 times cheaper per mile, then if the robot can get in and out of the car or van or truck, then it can then walk to the door with a package, which is was already shown in the videos on Friday. Then they can deliver packages. So they can load a truck, unload a truck, work a warehouse, deliver packages. Combined with full self-driving transforms the supply chain, which other companies have been trying to do that too. There's, I think, Digit or something like that for some agile robot systems, a startup. But it's the kind of thing where Tesla can do it at scale. And they have the resources, all the back-end supercomputers to back up and manage the data. So it's like, if they get to this relatively modest level beyond which they've already shown, where they can consistently and safely move objects, then they conquer these, $100 billion delivery market, or $1 trillion delivery market, and they can change the factory. If they double their productivity, that's worth trillions of dollars to them. So it's like
another captive market, because of course the self-driving trucks is already something that Tesla is producing with the Semi. So the last mile delivery of both loading and unloading the truck is what the universal robot resolves. And that is, again, not expanding in a novel use. It is a use that they are already working on, and right, now the robot enhances. another set of uses that they already are working on, and the robot enhances is the production and the deployment of solar panels, mm-hmm. whether freestanding or on the roofs, and of course the battery installations themselves.
Right.
So each of these activities are potentially receiving a multiplier effect that several times has been labeled during the presentation super exponential, right. and I call jolting, referring to it as the increasing rate of acceleration.
Right.
We have a very skeptical user, Robert, saying that AI is entirely hype, that Tesla is a subsidized waste of resources, that robots carrying packages to the door is economically untenable and ridiculous, and that self-driving trucks are also ridiculous. So assuming that Robert has the patience and the discipline of actually going and verify what we may be saying, what are the best ways that he could actually change his mind if he wanted to? Talking about, well, let's start with the subsidies. Tesla received loans, as every car company from the United States government during the last recession, when, except Ford and Tesla, every company went bankrupt.
Yep.
And Tesla returned the loan with interest in advance to the original deadline.
Right.
As far as the subsidies for purchasing electric battery electric cars, it is true the United States government decided that it wants to subsidize up to $7,500 the purchase of these cars. It is available to every battery electric vehicle maker as long as they don't produce more than a given number, and this number has been recently revised and increased. And the reason the U.S. government does this is because it wants battery electric vehicles to be adopted at a faster rate than otherwise it would be if these subsidies were not available. So yes, in this sense, Tesla receives subsidies, and whether that is a wasted or resource or a good investment, well, it depends on other factors that are not specific to Tesla itself, but the whole shift to battery electric vehicles. Now, let's keep talking about the robot and the implications of the robot, and then we may shift to AI and address Robert's claim that AI is entirely hype.
Okay.
You created and shared on your Twitter account at Next Big Future a calculation of what the robot could mean if certain things were true. So this is the first chart you made comparing over time from 100 years ago to 100 years from now, the population of humans and bots and the total population. Can you describe what this chart is and what are the implications?
So basically, it just shows that, you know, going back 100 years, you know, we had, you know, in the range of 100 some million people, 400, sorry, but a billion people, but 100 million people in the workforce, because people were working in agriculture. So 89% of people were farming. So I was looking at the non-farm workforce as it grew initially, right? So if you have a billion people and 9% of them are on the farm, then you only have like 100 million people that would be working in other industries. But then as you shift over to where only half of the people are farming, then you've increased, one, your population doubles, and then two, your percent of people doing non-farming increases and you grow these other industries. So there was a flood of people into non-farm work as we got off the farms and the population increased. Then population increases again, and we bring in China and Asia into the development of the world. So we have probably about 4 billion people, and then 2 billion people start contributing to the economy because they are getting off the farms, they're doing other work. That's the rise of China over several decades. And so now we're at about 3.3 billion people in global workforce, and only a tiny fraction of that is agriculture. That's when you get to the scaling of TeslaBot. Most people accept the fact that we are shifting over to 100% electric cars. They're going to completely replace the combustion vehicle. Perhaps people like Robert wouldn't believe that, but you know, I think that's clearly the case. If you look at S curves of adoption, it is clearly happening. We're at over 20-30% EV adoption in China. It's going to happen
in many places in Europe. By law, you will be prohibited from selling, and as a consequence, from buying an internal combustion engine car between 2030 and 2040, depending on the country. So it is now, in those countries, a self-fulfilling prophecy. Right. And I expect that all other countries will follow. California, the state of California in the United States, made the same decision a few weeks ago.
Right. And so then here's the difference with the TeslaBot. If you have the scale of Tesla manufacturing, which has made over 3 million cars and will make another, 500,000 in the fourth quarter, they're rapidly scaling up the number of vehicles they produce. But those vehicles, a Model Y, is 30 times the weight of a TeslaBot. So if you were to converge towards your cost being comparable to the weight of the components, because you continue to work on mass producing the parts, whatever the cost of software is, the cost of the hardware is what the cost will be to Tesla. Then, because the software you'd be able to distribute and whatever you can charge it with more margin. Then if you could make 100 million cars per year, which is the global consumption of cars, then you have the manufacturing capacity, if you were to equal that with the bots, of 3 billion. 3 billion bots, humanoid bots, is equal to the entire global workforce today. So then, if that takes to 2040, then you're looking at, doubling the workforce and then adding the equivalent to that workforce every year with the humanoid bots that you're adding to the global economy. So that's where it,
yeah, and this is also what you are analyzing on this other chart, where the hours worked by the total number of those bots at a given cost per bot mean that the price per hour of the bot working is going down to less than $10, then less than $1.
Right.
And literally exploding rather than just expanding the ability of the economy to deliver useful output.
That's right.
I think an interesting additional consideration, if we believe that these bots are going to not only build cars, but also going to accelerate the production and deployment of solar cells and batteries, is that together with this increasing economic output, we will also increase the amount of energy per capita available to each of us in the world. The ceiling of available solar energy is thousands of times higher than what we use now. So there's plenty available, and if we actually start placing solar energy collectors in space, even that limit is not there anymore. So it is just a question of how many and how fast can we produce solar panels and batteries. So an interesting question becomes, what are useful ways that we can deploy that additional sustainable, non-polluting energy? And an example, of course, is environmental restoration, cleaning up all the mess we created, desalinizing water where there is not enough, building dams where there is too much, cleaning up Superfund poisonous sites, bringing heavy industries, polluting industries, either into space or underground, once again with a boring company, and so many other things that we can do as long as we have abundant clean energy available, as the Tesla bot deployment could increase.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the thing is that the Tesla bot can, because it's humanoid and not overpowering, there's an inherent safety to it, because the forces involved are at or below the average human. So that means it can, you know, the safety concerns, you know, safety will still be a factor, but it's something that's easier to incorporate, because the envelope is within what we can do. So it's something where the frictions for adoption are a lot less. But yeah, if you were to have unlimited clean energy, it's the kind of thing where it makes everything exponential, because we talked about getting to 3 billion bots equaling humans, then going beyond that. Then, you know, as they're working in the factories, they can help the factory make the factory. So everything becomes exponential. They can make the SpaceX rockets faster. So yeah. Elon wants to get to 1,000 Starship, super heavy Starship rockets, which one could launch in November to orbit. They can then, he wants to send thousands to Mars. You know, that would be basically a D-Day invasion of Mars with 100,000 tons of material. So then that is enough to bring actually gigafactories with tens of thousands of bots to Mars. So then they can do mining and development. Then they can just start spreading one factory, two factories, four factories, eight on Mars, on the moon, and colonize the solar system. So, you know, yes, it's something where the power of this exponential thing, once you hit critical breakpoints, you know, having something in the millions, which enhances factory work, 11 million factory workers in the United States, something where you're replacing human labor, something where they can make another factory from it, you know, getting more and more autonomous in terms of the replication. Go ahead.
So let's shift and talk about AI, because the Tesla live stream last Friday, other topic of the day was artificial intelligence, in particular the back-end infrastructure that Tesla is building for both the cars and the bots to be able and interpret the world with human level senses, no extra exotic inputs needed, just kind of the human eyes we have, and how the software architecture and the hardware architecture go hand in hand in order to be able not only to accumulate, but also to interpret efficiently the data they have available. So what were your takeaways of their approach and how they are going about this this challenge?
So the fact that they're scaling up the Tesla Dojo, the training system, you know, with the tiles. So they're designing it, you know, and revealed it last year, but you know, they're following through. They're building it with scalability in mind, where they're making one tile per day a few months ago, and they're going even faster so that they can have their full exapod with, you know, 10 racks and, you know, I think 60 tiles per rack. So then they'll be able to mass produce that. When they hit their target of 7 exapods, that will be put them on par with Google, which had in 2022, early 2022, announced that they had 9 exaflops of AI cloud computing. And Google's in third place in cloud computing behind Amazon and Microsoft, but they're, you know, roughly on par, you know, not that far behind, about one third of the level. So when Tesla gets to that scale, then they'll be, you know, among the top 4 or 5 cloud computing companies. And even the fourth or fifth place company there makes tens of billions of dollars from that. And they'll be able to sell that to other companies to speed up the training aspect of it.
That's right, because what they mentioned as one of the main goals is to be able to train and deploy increasingly sophisticated artificial neural networks, mm-hmm. Rather than an upgrade per month, mm-hmm. they want to be able to test and deploy a new network each day.
Right.
So a 30-fold increase in the speed of training. And for those who are not familiar with what these networks are capable of doing, they actually showed very good examples of how from the videos that the car's cameras are capturing, the systems are actually able to decide what is going on in extremely complex environments. To illustrate, if not to demonstrate, that today AI went way beyond the hype stage, they actually fired the human labeling team that painstakingly would be there and say, this is a road, this is a brush, this is a tree, whatever else, this is a fire hydrant, and so on. Mm-hmm. And now the system is auto-labeling, is capable of identifying and deciding what is what. Based on the camera pictures.
Right. Yeah. So they have 160,000 cars using their full self-driving beta system, which will probably get out of beta in the next couple of months. I think the fact that it's in beta, you know, is only, you know, more of a legal accounting situation, because it's being used every day by 160,000 people. Autopilot and enhanced autopilot is being used by about over a million people, and they're getting benefit from that. So it's something where it's superior to any other driver assist system that's deployed on a mass scale. So, and people pay extra for that. You know, people pay extra for lane warnings and other kind of driver assistance. And it is proven, you know, with third-party UK data, government data, that Tesla cars are safer just with their driver assist stuff. So they're having things that are at the low level and very advanced driver assistance, making cars safer. And then they have the autopilot helping to drive and to park and do things. And then you have the full self-driving, which is being released. So they have several layers of the product, which are providing value to people. So AI is not hype because it's superior to driver assistance. And also other companies use AI and generate revenue from them for things like in every area, for robotics, driving. You know, they have other competitors in the AI. So not just Tesla who's doing it. People are getting benefits of that. You know, AI helps solve the protein folding problem in medicine and science and that kind of thing. So there's a broad areas where this being helped. But going back to the training aspect of things, it is something which is when you, I worked in computers and IT for a career. It's like compiling and being able to generate new code. That if you have all those delays where it takes you weeks to do something, the cycle of iteration of going through another upgrade is vastly slower to development. So when you bring it down from a month to weeks to multiple times per day, you rapidly increase the productivity and rate of improvement of that. And so other AI companies will want that. If Tesla has that at scale, again, something that other people will want to tap into, and they use it themselves to, you know, instead of making two changes a week, five changes a month, something like that, they go to 10 changes every day, 100 changes every day, and constantly getting faster and faster to remove that limitation to the rate of improvement.
And it is very interesting that people like you and me, who are very eager to understand not only what is happening today, but what will happen tomorrow, are able to find reliable sources of verifiable information of astonishing claims, mm-hmm. like, for example, a car that is able to drive itself, mm-hmm. which is a reality today with Tesla. Mm-hmm. Or, like in the case of SpaceX, the fact that the ability to design and build a large number of fully reusable rockets is changing the equation of what it means to be able to deliver large amounts of payload in space, and lowering the cost per unit of mass by three orders of magnitude or more, is going to make all kinds of things that today sound literally science fiction possible. Mm-hmm. And the people who don't have the natural curiosity or the persistence of eliminating false information and misleading sources don't arrive to the same conclusions. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think it's also at this point, you know, when you look at what's actually been done, you know, if you look at the space shuttle relative to the Falcon 9 rocket, you know, the Falcon 9 has launched like 170 times. They've landed 130 times. Other companies have not landed the rocket. When you land that first stage, you're saving, 70% of the rocket engines. You're reusing one, because they also get back the fairing covers, the payload covers. You're saving 80% of the rocket, and which is far more reuse than the space shuttle had. So if you just look at it in terms of those kinds of, you know, clear, and they did that, and they launched 50 times, 60 times this year, you know, about three times more than anyone else does, right? Even more than the country of China, right? Even in terms of payload mass, that they've doubled everyone else in terms of like what they're putting up there. In terms of the number of satellites they have up there, you know, over 3,000 Starlinks, which is again 60% of 70% of all satellites currently in orbit. You know, so it just in terms of like the raw numbers are there to look at, and also the fact that they're going to probably triple the number of Starlink satellites by the end of next year just by going to 100 Falcon 9 launches. And in June, they launched almost over once every 3 days for 6 launches in a row. So the pace with which they're actually changing things there is something that is, you know, clearly world changing. It's like if they start ignoring the, oh, and they launched again, they succeeded again, they're putting blinders on to that aspect, or the fact that they have almost 70%, still about 70% of the U.S. electric car market, right? So there are these inconvenient facts that the people who want to doubt it just want to glance over. By the end of, go ahead.
It is going to be very, I think, interesting to see how the people who are changing their minds are going to adapt to the new reality. We have already seen some of this. Tesla used to be the company that was most shorted for like 10 years. After 10 years, the people who shorted the stock gave up, and now Tesla is still shorted a lot as a percentage of the outstanding shares. But Apple is now actually the company that is most shorted instead of Tesla. So evidently, the people who were betting on the fact that Tesla would not be able to scale, not achieve profitability, or whatever other measure, and in consequence, the share price would collapse, allowing them to profit from that collapse of the share price, changed their mind. They said, I cannot pump money into my expectation of the bad things that I am forecasting coming true. And there are a lot of other things that the people who are skeptical about the developments that you and I are looking for to become real need to turn their head away or their gaze away from, right? Those developments will be more and more part of their reality. It is a bit like as if they said, oh, yeah, I remember mobile phones. Those are the big bricks that you had to hold against the side of your head, and they were horrible, and they would be very unreliable, and they would never work. That's what you are talking about, right? When you are talking about an iPhone or an Android phone. And no, evidently that is not what we are talking about. So whether electric cars or self-driving cars or rockets that that land and then take off again, the opportunity is here to recognize a reality that is more and more in the daily lives of people.
Yeah, and it's also something where people think, oh, if they only get stuck in time, like, oh, the internet crash, dot-com crash of 2000, 2001, but then now 20 years later, Amazon's $1.5 trillion, you know, things may pull back a bit with the whole recent market stumbles, but still the top five big tech companies, Apple, Google, Microsoft, Amazon, they're, you know, 50% of the NASDAQ, 30% of the S&P 500, they dominate the global space. And for people to say, I still support these companies that don't have AI or high technology, deep technology as part of their business, you know, they're just losing. It's just to think that, you know, no, the horse and buggy guys, they're going to get a second wind. You know, they're going to figure it out, and then they're going to come dominate the car space. It's like you know, those things, those companies are walking dead, right? And to think that that we're somehow going to roll it back, that they're not, the winners aren't going to keep winning. You know, it's like looking at a MMA fight where the fighter has gotten on top of the other guy and he's pummeling the guy down below. And no, no, that guy below, he's going to pull it together. You know, he's going to, you know, so.
So Chica says that he would like to join the Tesla team. That's fantastic because they are looking for talented people. Mm-hmm. Chica is based in Nigeria, and I don't know what Tesla's current plans are in Nigeria, but I guarantee that they are looking at a very, very important market in one of the growth regions of the world. Mm-hmm. Africa and Nigeria are mm-hmm. some of the few countries where the number of humans is increasing rather than stagnating. So I invite Chica to go to tesla.com/jobs and see whether in his geographic area there is already something available, and keep his eye on that so that his desire to join Tesla can become true.
The other thing is that there's all kinds of opportunities coming from using the latest technologies. You know, there's people who are renting out Tesla vehicles through Turo.com, you know, $700 per day, able to pay stuff off. There's people who take Starlink, and, you know, if you were in Africa, you could deliver internet services out to other people. I think there'll be opportunity for people who get the first adoption of the Tesla bot to work on developing apps and training for that. You know, when that opportunity arises, that I think will be a huge opportunity. Because you think of it, it will be, if you have a walking C-3PO companion that goes where you go, can go into your car, and has 2.3 kilowatts hours of batteries, that would have, and it would have Wi-Fi and communications, it's basically, you know, 1,000 times a cell phone in terms of compute, in terms of batteries. And I think the opportunities to develop that as the super cell phone, you know, there'll be huge opportunity with that.
And as a consequence, we can be looking forward to a potential app store where you are programming certain types of behaviors and services around the Tesla bot, except that if the Tesla promise of having something to be able to contribute to the development of artificial general intelligence is true, you will not be programming the Tesla bot with traditional code. You will be programming the Tesla bot just by talking to it. Mm-hmm. You will be able to sit down with your, I don't know, two or three Tesla bots and say, okay, guys, let's brainstorm what is a useful service that we can set up in this area.
Right.
After the couple of weeks that we spent together walking around in the neighborhood with everyone greeting us and everyone wanting to touch you, what is it that you observed that you believe can be an important contribution to the community that can be profitable for us to put together? Mm-hmm. That will be an interesting conversation. And I am looking forward to have a Tesla bot guest, maybe already next year, when after AI Day 2023, Brian, David, and Tesla bot, whatever it will ask us to call, whether Optimus or mm-hmm. whatever else, we are going to discuss the implications of its existence. But in the meantime, Brian, mm-hmm. thank you very much. This was a lot of fun. I hope our viewers appreciated it as well. Mm-hmm. And keep up the good work with the next big future and your analysis of technologies and how they are changing the world.
Thank you very much, David. Glad to be here.
Thank you, everyone, for joining Searching for the Question live today. And if you liked what you saw, you are welcome to support the show on Patreon at patreon.com/DavidOrban, as well as you can follow me on all the various platforms. And I am looking forward to seeing you at the next episode of the show. Bye-bye.